the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Now I know that you have heard, that you have read, and you have heard preached these scriptures probably time and time again in your Christian life. But today, I want you to hear these verses of scripture like you've never heard them before. I want you to listen what they're saying, because what I'm going to preach on is based upon them. And we need to hear them very clear. So let's listen to them together and hear what they're really saying. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angel, nor principality, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're going to be speaking for a few minutes this morning on God's inseparable love, death by suicide. The title of our text today, Death by Suicide, is probably one of the most misrepresented and least understood than any other subject concerning death itself. I must admit today that there is a lot of disagreement, not only amongst the laity, but against the clergy. Disagreement throughout the entire world concerning that subject. But there are two important things that I want us to hear today, and I want us to remember them and to dwell upon them. Number one, when God saved us through Jesus Christ's shed blood on the cross, he gives unto us eternal life. Number two, there is such a thing as deathbed salvation. I have found in my ministry that this is very few and very far between. But it does happen. In fact, you will remember the story or the proverb or maybe it's scripture, where there was a man hanging on the cross, and on the other side of him was another fellow, and in the middle was the Son of God. Remember that? And this one man seen his state, that he was on the road to hell without God. And he believed in his heart that that man on that middle cross was the Son of God. And so he says to the Son of God, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Remember that? And Jesus said to that man on his deathbed, so to speak, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Listen what John 10:28 says concerning eternal life. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. For my Father who gave them to me is greater than them all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hands. I would imagine of all the sorrows that we must face, the greatest of those sorrows is when we see a friend or a loved one take their life instantly. They commit suicide. And not only do we have to deal with the aspect of death, but I say to us that when things like this happen and someone commits suicide, questions begin to arise in our mind. We lose all track of what life and death is, and we begin to wonder, what has happened? Have we seen some kind of a sign that has told us that possibly this person will commit suicide? Is there anything that we could have done to prevent it? I say to you, my friend, that not only is the family of those who have taken their lives asking these questions, but all of the world asks these questions at a time like that. And we always wish that there was something we can do. But you've got to know this, that those questions always go unanswered. Several years ago, not too long ago, I had met it before, but we were speaking to the youth of our community because of a suicide in our community. And I pray to God that the individual had help to overcome these things. And I don't know if the trauma is all gone or not. But as we said in our classes, we had only so many young people dealing with. And passing through my mind as I looked upon their faces, these young men and women that I knew. I knew them since young children. And I thought I would start our discussion by asking questions. How many of you have thought about suicide? And out of the 9 young people that was in my class, only 1 person did not raise their hand. I said to them, how many of you have thought about suicide at least twice? And out of the 10, 7 raised their hand. And what amazed me the most are these were the ones who I was confident would never give a thought to committing suicide. We begin to deal with that. But at a time like this, my friend, there's something we have to have. We need a hope and a strength that the majority of times mankind can't give. And this hope and this strength can come only from God. And that strength comes by believing the Word of God in our text today. And that is this, that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Paul uses this beautiful expression when he says this, nothing, absolutely nothing can separate us from that love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And to find comfort in that hour, we need to remember those words of that great man of God, because they were not his words that he thought of. The word that he pinned down for us, that nothing is able to separate us from God's love, is the word that came from God on high through the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. And as men were moved by the Holy Spirit, they wrote down the word of God for us. And so the word that we have in our text today, today have not come from the heart of Paul. They have not come from mankind. But those words of this Apostle Paul have come from the very heart of God. And Paul wants us to realize this. But the great thing that approaches us when it first happens, if it happens especially in our family, or somehow it's our uncles, cousins, brothers, sisters, sons, daughters, we immediately say, how do I approach this situation? How do I continue to live? How do I survive? And that's a question that's unanswerable. But I have some thoughts that I would like to leave us with today. Thoughts that I believe we all need to hear. And thoughts that I believe we need to understand because they come from the Word of God. And I want you to listen to this person because I want to tell you, I've been in the presence of several families whose wives or sons or daughters have committed suicide. And I have heard it from the closest associates of that family. Judgmental. And you know the first thing that I hear, and I hear it from the lips of those who are Christians. The first word that I hear, isn't that something? There was a wonderful, wonderful Christian. I mean, they served God and they served in the church. I mean, they helped young people in the community. And now they have taken their own life and now they're going to hell. My friend, we don't understand that scripture, that's our text, and we believe that. For nothing, 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 absolutely nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And you and I must guard against this as Christians becoming judgmental or condemning someone because of an act that we know little about today. You know what? We all try to give simple answers to a complex problem. We all think we have the answer. You know, it's easy to tell someone, time heals all wounds and you will get over it. But you know, it's hard to get that person to realize that. When one of their loved ones or friends has just taken their life, it is true that time heals all wounds. But I'll tell you what, it heals all wounds not immediately. And so we need, when questions are asked, and I believe those who have dealt with those who have taken their lives will tell you that I'm right. Sometimes the greatest thing that we can do is just be quiet and listen. Because if you have not the answer, you lead someone wrong. And so you must always respond there with compassion and understanding to those who are going through a crisis such as this. And no one knows when we look at those, we wonder why, what caused this. But my friend, no one knows the battle that man or that woman, that boy or girl, how many battles that they have fought and how many battles they have won before finally this battle they became defeated. I was in the hospital some years ago. I had went to deal with one man who had slit both of his wrists in a bathroom. And as he fell to the floor, I believe one of the sisters had heard his head or something hit the door. And when the father went to the door and knocked on the door, there was no answer. And so he gets the door to open it and it's locked and he begins to holler at his son. And finally he realizes something happened, so he breaks the door in and his son is laying on the floor bleeding to death. And the father, the first thing he asked his son, the boy told me, oh son, what have you did? Why have you did this? And the boy's words came immediately. Why do you care? You don't love me anyway. But then the boy said that he realized when he seen all that his father did, it was not that the father didn't love him. He had got depressed in his mind that no one loved him and the easiest way out is to take his life. And when I dealt with him, there was about 17 they brought in the room with us. And every one of them said the same thing. Oh, thank God that someone loved enough that when I tried to take my life, they interceded for me. My friend, we cannot intercede for those whom we are condemning soon as it happened. I would imagine something today. I don't know about you, but I would imagine that we who sit here, there must be a breaking point somewhere in each of our lives. But thank God we haven't came to that breaking point. Because many times the battles that we fight are battles that we would have lost maybe. But others have won time and time again before finally they have been defeated in that battle of life. May I say something else to us? It is not fair. It's not fair at all that all the good deeds and all the good acts and all the love and all the help that someone has given to the world and to the family and to the friends, that these things should be gotten because of one last final act. You know, sometimes God's children are the worst. Because sometimes the first thing we say is this, I sure thought they were the Christians. I sure thought they knew God. Did you ever think possibly that they did? And the battle just became so much that they could not fight the battle, and when they looked, just maybe, no one was there to help. That's our place, people. And so, we need to be careful. Number one, not to judge. Number two, hold on to hope. The most distressing question that comes, if a person commits suicide, will they still go to heaven? Is God able to save them? Is there any hope left? I think there's somewhere a scripture that said, with God all things are possible. And I believe there's another scripture that says, and we read it, that those that God has given me, I have lost none but the son of perdition. And the son of perdition means he was not saved by grace. Yes, my friend, there's an idea that persists today. And it's been here a long time, that taking our life is the unpardonable sin. And yet when I look into the Word of God in Matthew 12, 31 and 32, I find that the unpardonable sin is one and only one. And that unpardonable sin that can never be given in this life or the life to come is blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. He that blasphemes against mankind shall be forgiven, and he that blasphemes against the Son of God shall be forgiven, and he that blasphemes against God the Father shall be given, but he that blasphemes against the Holy Ghost shall never be forgiven in this life or the life to come. What is blaspheme? Jesus had healed many. And when the Pharisees came, they blasphemed the Holy Ghost, who Christ was healing through the Holy Ghost. And they said, he has healed under the power of Beelzebub, the chief of demons, the devil. The work that he did, God did not do it, the devil have did it. And Jesus said, those who blaspheme against the Holy Ghost shall never be forgiven in this life or the life to come. Now remember that. Never. It's impossible to be forgiven. If a man goes to prison for murder or for anything else, he stays in the cell. They put him on death row. He goes to the electric chair. He sits in the electric chair. He's tied in the electric chair. His legs and his arms and his head are shaven. The man is ready to pull the switch. And the telephone rings and says, this is the governor, I pardon him. With only 2 seconds ago, the governor has saved his life. But they who blaspheme, says, be forgiven. And so as I look at the scripture, I find no place in there where it says, and they that commit suicide have committed the unpardonable sin and shall never be forgiven in this life or that life. And you know why that I don't find it there? Because it's not there. It just isn't there. You see, salvation is not based on the way we die. And it's not based on the way we live. It is based on our relationship with Jesus Christ the Lord. If thou shalt confess thy sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we're not saved by how we live, or how we die. We are saved by our relationship to Jesus Christ. The very moment that we bow our heads or kneel down or look up or whatever we do and we say to God, Pop, I realize today that I'm a sinner. And I realize that if I die this moment, I'm going to hell. But today, dear God, I call upon you through Jesus Christ, your Son, that you will forgive me my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And Jesus said He'd save us. And my friend, when He saves us, He gives us what? Eternal life. The moment we're saved, our security for heaven is sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of Baptists don't believe that, and that's fine. But common sense tells us that if someone gives us eternal life, we've got to have it through eternity. Because that's what eternal life is. Amen? In other words, if we are not saved when we die, we're going to hell. But if we are saved and covered by the blood of Jesus Christ and we die, we are going to heaven. Not through our righteousness, because our righteousness in the sight of God is a filthy rag, but through Him who died on the cross, and there shed His blood in your place, and His blood in your place, and His blood in my place. And we see the sign in God's head, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Amen. God can almost shout. God looks at our heart, and if the blood of Jesus Christ is on our heart, I don't care how we die. I don't care how we live. As long as we're sealed by the Holy Ghost of God, then we die, we're going to heaven. Do you believe that? For nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, nor any other creation. Nothing that man can devise. Not even nothing that God or angel can devise. Not even anything that the devil can devise. Including death. Neither death nor life shall separate us. And so then, not even the fact of death or the manner of it can separate us from the love of God. Lastly, in a time of crises like this, are we listening? Examine yourself. In such disaster, it is time to look within us and examine our lives carefully. We are convinced that God is the giver of life and that life is sacred. And it is wrong to take our lives. It is wrong. I grant you, it is wrong to take our lives. But you know what? Listen to me good now. I'm going to say it because I feel God leading. Maybe you don't want to hear it, but that's fine. But listen now just for a moment, my friend. Is it any wronger for an individual to take an overdose? Is it any wrong for a person to hang themselves, immediately take their lives, than it is for some of us who are taking our lives in segments? What do you talk about, preacher? Oh, I'm going to tell you, I didn't come here to beat around no bush. I come here to tell you the truth of God. How about the individual who drinks the booze? How about the alcoholic? Oh, he don't commit suicide. I remember a young boy lived in Toby, you know, and I won't mention his name, but he lived in Toby, and he would come to beg in my house when he was young, and we fed him, and he lived with us. He was like a son to us, and I would say to him, please stop drinking. You're going to kill yourself. You're killing yourself drinking. He said, I can't stop drinking, and I'm not hurting myself or nobody. I said, please quit drinking. You're killing yourself. And he drank until he died of alcoholism. Did he commit suicide? You be the judge. He just didn't take a roof and do it. He drank himself to death day after day. A young man, in fact, when he died, I believe he was only in his 20s, early 20s when he died. Yes. How about the individual that smoked? Oh, wait, don't. Now you're starting to... No, wait a minute, my friend. I don't know that it's true. But the report that I am reading says that about, I'm not sure, don't let me say it, I'm going to say a lower number, that about 45% of all lung cancers are caused by smoking cigarettes. I'm going to ask the question. Knowing that, as Christians or as sinners, knowing that, are we committing suicide when we die of lung cancer because we would not quit smoking? A lady just yesterday on visitation, me preacher, you tell the church to pray about my smoking, and we prayed about it in our prayer meeting this morning because I had to quit smoking, and she's almost to go crazy because she had to quit smoking. Listen to what the doctor told me. If you don't quit smoking, you're going to die soon. She said, that's reason for me to quit smoking. I want to ask you a question, my friend. That ain't taking a roof or an overdose, but how about it? Is that committing suicide? You see, we don't relate these things to suicide, alcoholism, an overdose, and these kind of things. We don't say that that's suicide, but listen to me, they are. They truly are. Well, make sure that we are giving our life to the highest and to the best. I said it one time, I think it caught on. I heard Ruth Barber say it so many times since then. But I preached one time and I said, I'm not satisfied if my wife gives me a half a slice of bread. I want a whole slice or nothing. And that kind of caught on, and that's the way it is. Well, you know, it's like that with me and God, and I pray like that. I don't want the menial things that God's got. He's got a lot of them, and they're all good. But I want the best that God wants me to have. I want to have a mind that thinks upon heavenly things. I want to have a life that someone can at least, when I die, say, well, he at least did a little good. Or he at least led someone to God. Or he at least filled his pulpit as he was supposed to. Or something like that. But don't give me the praise, but give God the praise. And give God the honor. And give God the glory. Because we all need to seek the best that God has. Make sure we build our character strong. I'm going to close. You ever find a little tree? Now Smiley's got one. He's probably pretty proud of the apple tree. How many apples on it this year? See, there you go. How many apples on that? And it's doing good, but there's something about that tree. When he planted, the roots were small. But it's beginning to grow now, and it's beginning to bring forth fruit, and you know what's happened? The taller it grows, and the bigger it grows, and the more fruit it bears, the stronger the roots have to be. Amen. And the taller the tree, the deeper the root has to go to hold it up. Every building needs a foundation, and the larger and higher the building, the deeper the foundation must be. So when the winds and the sand come upon it, and the waters beat against it, and the rain comes, it will stand. And our character is like that. You see, when it seems like the outward shell is about to fall, and it seems like the whole world's falling in, and it seems like all that's supposed to be good is going wrong, and it seems like life isn't worth living, then on the inside, my friend, we need a brace. We need a brace that when these storms and battles of life come, we'll be able to stand. Jesus Christ the Lord. If you haven't got him today, you'll fall. Yes, you will. Remember Walter Winchell? How many remember Walter Winchell, Henri, the famous news broadcaster? During World War II, there was a week of great tumultuous battle. And in this great battle, after a week, Singapore fell. And Walter Winchell, as he closed his news broadcast, he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, Singapore has fallen, but the Rock of Ages stands. When everything seems its darkest, we have no other place to hide. We seem to have fought the battle and we find our backs against the wall, not knowing what to do and trying to make a decision. May I encourage all of us to remember the Rock of Ages is there, and the Rock of Ages cannot. I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor power, nor principalities, nor height or depth, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any living creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Please hear what I'm saying. Don't look at what you think or I think. Let's give answer by what God says. Because God is always right. Amen. I don't know your heart today. I pray that everyone here is a child of God. In your heart, you know if you are. And if you aren't today, Sister Sandy, Sister Mel, Brother Wilton, come with a verse of invitation song. Will you come this morning and desire to know Jesus as your Savior? Will you come this morning because the Holy Spirit is dealing with your life? Maybe you need to pray today. Maybe you said, "You know, I've had wrong thoughts. I've been all wrong, and I've told folks wrong." Wouldn't you just like to come and talk to the Lord? You know, He can really soothe you today. If there's any family purpose you need to come about, God loves you. He wants you to come. So as we just sing a verse or so of the song, would you come? You say, "Well, I'm going to make it through this." You might make it through this, my friend, but you remember this. You've got to go on living outside that door until God takes you out of the world. And I pray that when He does, you can say, "I'm a child of the King."